It's a joy and a privilege this morning to welcome to our pulpit Pastor Gary Francis and his wife Sandra and Timothy and Angelica. And they're back there, so give them a hand. Pastor's away for 2 or 3 weeks and a well-deserved holiday. He tried to take one earlier, and it just seemed that he never did get away. So we're happy that he's gone. Isn't that an awful thing to say? No, we're happy that he is able to get away and to recharge his batteries and come back full of vim, vigor, and vitality, and to minister to us throughout the fall. So we would like to welcome Pastor Gary Francis, and he can tell you all about himself when he comes up here. Pastor Francis.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, it's so good to be back here at Newcastle again, and I want to thank Pastor Jack for the introduction and for the time here today. I want to talk about meeting Jesus, but I'd like to just give you a little update about my life and about myself. I was here in an evening service one time, so now I'm back for a morning, so you might want to just get a little update. Let's see now. My lovely wife back there, Sandra, we've been married almost 22 years, and everybody thinks my daughter is my wife sometimes when she's standing next to me because they look like each other, right? Beautiful women. And Timothy and Sister Simone, our son, Timothy, has mild autism. So there is hope for you. And he's doing well. He's almost 20 years old. And he's a joy to our home. Angelica is 16, going on 30. And you know, those things are good to have, isn't it? We were in Kitchener for 10 years, in Benton Street Baptist in Kitchener, where our children were born. We were married, and we had a wonderful time over there, 10 years of solid ministry. Everybody ever heard of Pastor Jim Reese? Yeah, he's all over Canada, isn't he? Yeah, I was with him for 10 years, and Pastor Bob then took over, and now Gary McNitt is there. And then we moved to Bayfair in Pickering here, right along the highway here, and we were there for 4.5 years. Wonderful time of ministry, I tell you. We were busy, and enjoyed those days very much. Then the Lord called us down to Greektown, Pape and Danforth, right across from the Pape subway station. And we were there for 4 years. Wonderful time of ministry with Pastor Tom Lampshed, a great friend of mine, an AGC church. And we had a wonderful, wonderful ministry there. Solid, solid, great time. I was chaplain of the lodge and associate pastor of the church. And we had the Sunday evening services and all those wonderful things. And then something happened crazy in my life. I went out to Steinbeck, Manitoba. Yes? Anybody from Steinbeck here?
No, I've been there.
You've been there. Good for you. Actually, it's a lovely place. 12,000 people. I think it's about 14,000 now, maybe 15,000. 32 churches with 12,000 people. The church we were part of was about 3,000 people. And the church next down from them was about 1,200 people. So it's a church town. Everybody went to church on Sunday. We had 4 services, 2 on Saturday night, 2 on Sunday morning, and I went to all of them. And it was quite the time out there. So we were there for about 2 years. And then we came back to Faith Baptist in Whitby. You know, in Whitby now? And I was there for 6 months, and unfortunately ran into some financial difficulties, whatever. And we were laid off from there. And now I work at the Pickering Nuclear Plant. Isn't that a great history? And here am I now. And this shirt I put on this morning was white. Now it's green. So you see, I do work at a Pickering Nuclear Plant. So that's your update of us. And here we are. And we're looking forward to the next venture God has for us in ministry. Today I want to talk about meeting Jesus. Have you ever met any famous people? I've met some famous people in my life. I'll just clean up here a little bit if you don't mind. I've met some famous people in my life. One time I visited Montreal, and my sister was living there for a little while, and we were walking down the streets of Montreal, and Pierre Elliott Trudeau walked by me. Yes, the great Pierre Elliott Trudeau. We share the same birthday, but now he's gone, it's mine. So it's all mine now. So he walked by me, he had his collar up as he normally does, you know. So that was Pierre Trudeau. I also met Lisa LaFlamme. Have anybody ever met Lisa LaFlamme? She's a new CTV anchor. Well, she's a Kitchener girl. And my wife recognizes people from all over the place. It doesn't matter. And we were in Central Meat Market in Kitchener, and there was Lisa LaFlamme. She's a tall lady. And my wife said, "That's Lisa." And I go, "That is Lisa." But, you know, with famous people, I just treat them as normal. And then one time, I was at a rally for the last election, and I was over in Scarborough, and I met our prime minister. This is how I met him. There's a fellow from the West End. He missed the rally on the West End, and was over at the Delta Chelsea there on the 401, and he said, "The prime minister's coming out that door. Everyone's facing this way." And he said, "He's coming out that door." And he said, "If you want to meet him, go stand there, and you'll be the first one he'll meet." I go, "Do I believe this guy? Is he pulling my leg?" He said, "They always come out of the kitchen for some reason, right?" And I was the kitchen. So I was facing this way while everyone is facing this way. And everyone's saying, "Look at this idiot right here facing the wrong way. When the prime minister is going to come this way?" Well, guess what, folks? He came out that door. And as soon as the door opened, guys with shades and tint glasses looked around. And then they cleared the way for him. I was the first one there, and he stuck his hand out, and he shook my hand. And I shook the prime minister's hand that day. So that was great that I met him first. And everybody went, "Hey, how did he figure that out?" That was great. I also met Chris Bosch. Everybody ever met Chris Bosch? Well, he's as thin as this railing here, but he was about as tall as the roof on it, and I stood beside him, and I was more fascinated with his size and the size of his feet and everything. So those were the great, some of the people that I met. Well, today I want to talk about meeting Jesus face to face. What happens when we meet Jesus? I hope you leave with a phrase, and I want you to practice it with me. It is impossible to meet Jesus and not change. Literally, it's impossible. It's impossible to meet Jesus and not change. In the text here, which was read, we have a man who met Jesus. And his life took a drastic change. Before we begin this message, let's bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us through this. Lord, we're about to enter and look into your face. We are about to look at the Word of God. This is serious business. We're not here to joke around. We're not here to fool around. We're here to change. We are going to encounter Jesus this morning, the Divine One. So would you give us concentration? Would you help us to hang on every word from your Word? And may we leave changed people. In Jesus' name, amen. My life dramatically changed one time. And we often come to dramatic changes in our lives when something happens that causes us to remember that moment. I remember I was driving on West Heights Drive in Kitchener. Now that means nothing to you, but it means a whole lot to me. Because my mom was beside me, it was winter time, and I was driving a Datsun. Are those things still around? I think it was a stick shift, Datsun. And my mom was my passenger, and I was coming down the hill. The kitchen is a very hilly place with the Grand River there. And I was winding my way down the hill, and good old mothers, you know, "Gary, you're driving too fast." And I was about to show my skill in handling this vehicle. And while the words were in my mouth, I was going to say, "Mom, I am not." And at that moment, we went into a spin. Well, the last thing I saw was the grill of another car. I don't know how he got into my lane or what he was doing there, but we suddenly didn't hit each other and we came to a stop. didn't hit nothing, and I looked over at my mom, embarrassed and humiliated, and realized I was not driving at a safe speed. My life changed. My driving skill changed from that day. I respect the road now. In fact, if I go back to Kitchener, I stand at that spot as a sacred moment, and I go, this is where I learned to drive in Canada. It was a completely changed moment for me. The classic spin out, right? Embarrassed. I changed because of something happened. My future behavior changed. This morning, I want you to remember August 8th. Because this is the day we may come to say, this is the day I met, if you're here, you don't know Jesus. I met Jesus. You may want to come back to that August 8th and say, this is the day my life drastically changed. Let's get into the text. We see there's a man in the text. I'm not going to read it again. In the text, we see a man who had a drastic and genuine change, just like my driving habits. Whenever there's a situation in life, we look at the before and after encounter. In verse 27, it says, this man was possessed by demons. In verse 29, it says, he was wild and out of control. He was bound in shackles and chains. His life was kept under guard. He would break his chains and his shackles. He was driven into a solitary place, into the desert, by the demons that possessed him. This man is in trouble. It's quite obvious that the evil forces are controlling this man externally, internally, and externally. This man is in trouble. Let's stop here and ask ourselves, what is it about our lives that is controlling us that is like this man, that we're still in the before stages? He hasn't met Jesus yet. And his life is a mess. You know, I stop and ask myself, before I came into the kingdom, before I became a Christian, my life was, and I can't say anything about this man. I was like this guy. Maybe very different. You know, the seven deadly sins were part of my life. Pride, lust, greed, jealousy, hate, envy, anger. We still carry sins, even as Christians, like gossip, disunity, complaining, murmuring, criticism, things like that. We are controlled by our sins, and sometimes we need to meet Jesus to experience change. So I put myself in this text, and often our lives are on the roller coaster of life. We go up and down, up and down, up and down. The second thing I observe about this man, and this is unusual, isn't it? This is the Bible. It says he was naked. This guy is walking around with no clothes on. It says for a long time. He seems to have no shame, no sense of decorum. He is completely exposed. This is not decent. There's something wrong with this man. It is not normal behavior to walk around, live in tombs, and to walk around completely naked. Would you agree with me? Something's wrong with this guy. Okay? It's obvious that he is under the control of Satan and his demons. As we say it, he is spiritually dead. Not only spiritually dead, he has some things wrong with his head. His behavior is going to see, we're going to see in this text that how his behavior went from one thing to another, and it's a complete and drastic change. Why? Because he met Jesus. And I'm going to say to you again, it is impossible to meet Jesus and not change. Okay? You know, sometimes we say, this is not me. This is, here we are, folks. The next thing we observe about this man is that he's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. How do I know that? He's living in a cemetery. That's what the text says. He's living among the tombs. He is loco, as they say. Nuts. Crazy. This man is in trouble. A dead giveaway. Can you imagine his real estate agent? I've got a place with a nice view. A few tombs. Don't worry about those. It's very quiet. You know? Very little traffic. This guy is living in a cemetery. The text says he's not living in a house. It's a dead giveaway. Something is wrong with this man. He is what we call a few bricks short of a full load, as they say. Something is wrong with this man. You know, we find ourselves in this text. I find myself in this text. I mean, I'm not as drastic as this. You may be not as drastic as this man. He is wild and crazy. He is completely naked. And he is living in a cemetery. This guy is in trouble. This guy is living under the dominion of Satan. This guy needs to meet Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, once he met Jesus, it was impossible not to change. Let's go on. Here's what happens when people meet Jesus. You know, before I met Jesus, my life had no victory over sin. I was just like this guy. Obviously, I was trying to get free from the chains that bound my life. I wanted to be free. I was under the guard of somebody else. I was not physically naked, but I was exposed to so many things. I was out of my mind in so many ways, just like this guy. We are like him. Well, here is where the news changes. Here's where the news changes. How long do I have anyway? Like, I see 12 o'clock up there. It's like, I'm getting hungry already. But that's a... Here's where the news changes. Sorry about that. Verse 35. And the people went out to see what happened. Something happened. When they came to see Jesus, they found this man I just described, who was demon-possessed. Right? The demons are now gone out of him, it says. And this is what it says. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was dressed and in his right mind. Something happened to this guy. What happened to him? He met Jesus. And when you meet Jesus, it is impossible not to change. Here it is. Sitting. There's a swift and sudden and dramatic change in this guy's life. The New Living Translation said, he met Jesus face to face. The New American Standard says, when he saw Jesus, his life changed suddenly. Just like that. A swift and sudden change. You cannot encounter Jesus and not change. You know, I've met Christians, and I've been a Christian for, oh boy, a long time myself. And you're supposed to be getting better with time, by the way. If you meet Jesus Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, if you've known him for all these years, you're supposed to be getting better, not crustier and more, you know, people don't want to spend time around you. I hope there's nobody like that here. You're all smiling at me. None of them. They're all gone. You're another church down the road, right? Okay. There's an illustration about a preacher. And I don't want to use your pastor here, but he got up and he preached a great message. And he left the door, and everybody says, like they say, you know, nice sermon, pastor, great sermon. Then he came next week, and he preached the same thing. And people are going, didn't I hear that last week? Ah, you know what? Maybe he had a tough week. Maybe he had like 4 funerals and 3 weddings and just didn't have time, right? He did the same thing. Then the third week, people realized he's doing the same thing again. Like, what is going on here? Maybe, you know what? The pastor is a compassionate man. Maybe he looked, there was a whole pile of people missing, and they're back from vacation. He said, this sermon's for them, and I'm going to do it again. Right? So you know, he did it again. So people, man, forgive it. The fourth week, now things are getting out. People are calling each other. Right? It's like, Did you know the pastor preached the same sermon for the last 3 weeks? I'm showing up next week to see what he does. So the fourth week, everybody showed up. The place is jammed. Right? He does the same thing again. And it's like, what is going on here? 4 times the guy. The fifth week, you know, now Bruce Kovac is moving in. The elders are starting to wait a minute here. Something is up. You know, sorry about that, Bruce. leadership says, yeah, you know, pastor, we're getting some complaints here. And, you know, we've been noticing you've been doing the same thing over and over. Just kind of, you know, kind of move on. Okay, good. Okay. seventh, sixth week, well, he does the same thing again. Now the leadership is a little bit upset. Okay, pastor, okay, we've given you a chance. Now you've done it again. If you do it next week again, we're going to have to remove you. We can't have this, you know. So by the seventh week, pastor gets up again, and he starts doing the same message while they take him out. You know, he's leaving, and he said, why did you keep doing the same thing? And he finally said, because you didn't change the first time I did it. I kept going and going. It is impossible to meet Jesus and not change. Here's this man. He was sitting. Sitting is a sign of stability. It's evidence that his life has found a resting place. It is evident this man has a measure of control over his life now. He is calm. He is cool. He's collected. The word sit means to dwell. Before, he had no dwelling. He was wandering around in tombs and deserts and cemeteries. Now he is dwelling. It says he was sitting, not standing. When you stand with somebody, it says, I am equal to you. But now he is sitting. He is a sign of submission and dependence. He's at the feet of Jesus. He is in a humble position. He now has a relationship with his Savior. It's not a religious exercise anymore. He's an encounter. He is learning at the feet of Jesus. He has been with the Divine One. And now he goes from no victory to victory. He is from wild and out of control. He's sitting. He's sitting there. That's a dramatic change. You cannot meet Jesus and not change. It's impossible. So we see this man, first of all, he experienced a drastic change in his life. The second thing we see, that he is clothed. He's got some clothes on. Now, what do you think happened there? He met Jesus. I'm sure Jesus didn't tell him, hey, bud, you know, there's Jack Fraser down there, and there's Simpsons over here. No, because he met Jesus, it is impossible not to change. He suddenly had clothes on. It means clothing signals the outward manifestation of an inward reality. Something happened inside of this man, and suddenly he realized, I need to put clothes on. I need to put clothes on. His behavior changed dramatically. You know, the word there means an heir. Can you imagine? Guys, you know what? Your wives go to the stores and they buy heir. They do. You know what? When somebody puts something on, they have this air of sophistication. When we say to somebody, don't put on any airs. Well, when the scripture says, put on these things, it says, put on kindness, not just the air of kindness. It means something that you wear. Somebody could see that you're wearing kindness. It's not just the air of kindness. Somebody could see gentleness and patience and love, stuff you are wearing that people see. And this guy put on clothes. People who knew him before goes, hey, wait a minute, wasn't that the guy who was demon-possessed? Now there he is sitting, and he's got like clothes on. This is incredible. It is impossible to meet Jesus and not change. You know, I'd venture to say that we put on too much airs sometimes. We don't really put on the real stuff. We don't put on the real clothes. Because sometimes we say we've met Jesus and we haven't. You know, if I'm running around wild and demon-possessed and I tell you, look, I've changed, you're going to say, no, you haven't. If I was completely naked and suddenly I show up completely naked and I say, I've changed, what are you going to say? No, you haven't. But this guy met Jesus, and we can see there's a recognizable change in his life. He changed. He met Jesus. The third thing about this man I want to notice is that we've seen the swift and sudden changes in his life. He went from wild to sitting. Striking and startling changes. He went from being naked to being clothed. And now it says here, the subtle and slow changes. Meeting Jesus can often do that to us. We have striking changes. We have dramatic changes. And suddenly, we could have subtle changes in our lives. This man went, it says, from being insane to sane. It says he was in his right mind. Now, what? How do I explain this one? It's easy to say this guy put on some clothes and he went from being wild to sitting. But how do you explain somebody who goes from being out of their mind to their right mind? Okay, here it is. What time does church start? You can speak to me. 11, right? I don't know about this crowd here, but insanity is, and I saw this on Huntley Street one time, insanity is going from doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. That's what insanity is. People go insane. So I remember when I used to work at Bayfair. I used to be at the office. I was supposed to be at the office at 9 o'clock. I tell you, folks, I was insane. Because every morning I'd get up and I'd leave. I lived on Westney Road, close to Westney Road, and the church is on White Road. That's a different city. And I'd expect to get there in 2 minutes. It's insane. Every morning I'd get up and I'd say, how did I do this again? Like, I'm leaving here, I'm driving on the highway, and I won't say how fast I was going because we have police officers in this church. And, sorry, Bruce. And, you know, there's an old saying, the angel leaves your car when you pass 120. Well, my angel would be left standing on Western Road every morning. And I'd get there, and I'd walk in the office, and they'd say, okay, Gary came in again without his angel. And he's half shaved, he's half eaten, and he doesn't look right. Sanity says, I need to change. I need to stop doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Okay, let's bring it to church. When you come to church, I guarantee that Jesus is preached from this pulpit. I know that. I've known Pastor Jacques. But when you get to here, are you expecting to change? Are you? Are you expecting to meet Jesus? Is it insane to just say, I'm just going to do this religious exercise every week and show up and leave without meeting Jesus and not changing? You know, it is supposed to be subtle and slow. We're supposed to realize that we are slowly and slowly changing in time when Jesus meets us week after week. Now, we're gonna get this after a while. Now, I'm going to leave my notes. I'm going to come down and I'm going to say, I'm one of you. Because I have bouts of insanity. You see, that explains it. I have bouts of insanity. I come every week and I come into the presence of God. I come and I hear the scriptures being preached. I hear the songs of the faith. And what do? I do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. I expect not to change when I go out those doors. Well, folks, if you come here and you come to meet Jesus, it is impossible to leave without changing. You know what? This morning you've come, we've sung the hymns, you've met Jesus. What are you going to do about it? There are some things in your life that need to be changed. We need to say there's going to be some dramatic and sudden changes. I'm going to like this guy. I'm going to put some clothes on. There's some things like that. There's some things like I was wild and all over the place. Now I am sitting at the feet of Jesus calm. And there's some things in life that are slow and subtle that we should be growing in grace, that we should be growing in knowledge, that we should be changing a little bit week after week. And instead of going by the door and saying, nice sermon, Pastor, say, you know what, Pastor? What you've said there, I'm going to work on that. And with God's help, I'm going to change. It is impossible to meet Jesus and not change. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your scriptures. And I'm glad my life wasn't written in the scriptures like this man. His life was before us. As a demon-possessed man, wild, out of control, naked, out of his right mind. But he met you. And today, there might be somebody here. For the first time, they said, I have come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'll stop the service right now and say, if you need Jesus in your life, it's impossible to meet up with Jesus and not change. You can accept him as your Savior even today, August the 8th, 2010. You can say, this is the day I met Jesus and my life changed forever and ever. Eternity was changed for me. Or you may be a Christian for many years. And you know the changes that need to be happening in your life. And we come here week after week and we don't expect to change. Lord, it is impossible to meet you and not change. Give us the grace. Help us as we go forward with you. We worship you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.